This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Once again, it sounds like a broken record. It's another beautiful day here. Just have to pinch myself to believe that you can wake up in a place such as this. Who needs stress? Anyway, maybe we should try some way of bottling it up and sending it to some of the other places, if that's possible. But thank you for joining me, and I have a number of things we're going to be talking about today. And one of them of which is trash. That's my favorite subject. I just love talking trash and trash itself. But we're into this Kurt Caldwell's administration for several months or years, so whatever time he's been in. And we need to send him a message that the honeymoon's over. Time for dog and pony shows and all of those things, it's over. We learned that the hard way with Mufi Hanneman. And so he needs to open a new book, parading down to Middle Street and picking up bulky trash on the compound yard. Really does very little to reduce trash as we know it out there. And get down to the real nuts and bolts. Give the taxpayer what they want. Give us what it is that we deserve. Good service, good government, and enough of the smoke and mirrors and all of that other stuff. Kirk, it's time. We want to see someone become a mayor rather than the Mr. Magic Man. The reason I say that is that as I sit here now and talking to you, I spent the greater part of yesterday afternoon out in various areas. And you can go to carolcox.com and see what it is that I posted. CarolCox.com. And what I posted there was, had a little adjustment here I had to make. What I posted was some pictures, you know, while you saw Kurt on TV looking all fancy and as he's a man on the spot. The reality, let me give you some examples. Communities, condominiums and townhomes and gated communities are impacted by this. Did you know that trash is standing idle there in communities such as Waipio, Mililani, Eva Beach, Waianae, Kapolei, Kunia, Nanakuli, Makakilo, and there are some others. And the reason for this is that Kurt is busy trying to be the movie star, and we didn't vote for a movie star, Kurt. That's over. The curtains have come down on that. These communities, last night I spoke with several, and I was out there in the dark of the night as well in the evening. And you know these huge trash bins. Some of them are picked up if you were to. The routes are scheduled for, let's say, Tuesday and Friday, or Monday and Wednesday. Well, the trash was picked up in some instances on a Monday or a Tuesday, but not a Thursday. And they were picking up some, a very small portion of the trash yesterday, Thursday's trash yesterday. Today is a holiday, so nobody's working, is a weekend, so nobody's working to pick up trash. So imagine having stinking, smelly trash. Rats, roaches, flies, and other pests that are there finding this place attractive and sitting right by your bed window and you see the cans rolled out. And this is reality. So they didn't get picked up on Friday or the Thursday. So Thursday comes Friday, Saturday, they have to wait Sunday, and then Monday because they still have the regular routes. And so what brings this on? Well, two clear reasons for this is that Kurt is not being honest with the community, with the taxpayer. That's why he has his dog and pony show, to distract you. The reality is, there are, to our estimate and to our interviewing with some of the employees, there are approximately 7 front-end loaders. And the front-end loaders are those that have the prongs that stick out in front, drives up, sticks into the bend, lifts it up in the front, and then dumps. That's the front-end loader. The side loaders are the automated ones that picks up, pull up, and picks up the gray can or the blue can or the green can and dump it in the side. So we're talking about front-end loaders. And these front-end loaders are, there's 7 of them, we're told, Kailua, Middle Street, and Pearl City, where they're stationed. Only one in Middle Street is working. The ones that are assigned to Pearl City, which covers Nanakuli and out in that area, and Kapolei and Makakilo and some of Pearl City, and you get the idea, and Ever Beach and Ever. Only those are broken now. They are out of service. Yet, you see the mayor on TV talking about how he's doing bulky items. What he needs to do is get out there with the community. And I do, I'm speaking on behalf of these communities because I spoke to some of them at various places. The Eva Villages, the Eva Villa, the Ivalani Villages, the Eva Apartments. All of those apartments are just sitting with smelly trash, trash bulging from the cans. And they've set them out so that the trucks would come, but the trucks don't come. So, you know, I reported, I think a year, 2 years ago maybe, that they bought approximately 8 side loaders, automated side loaders, that were too small. The men couldn't carry a full crew. Or rear end loaders couldn't carry a full crew. Well, if that's the case, why didn't they return those and take that money and buy the 7, replace or increase the fleet of front end loaders? Now, I suspect there's something a little more mean spirited about this process, and this is just suspicion, and it's possible that if you don't service these people and these communities or these complexes, some of them actually get it for free. Others have to pay a private entity. So as we've seen in the history of this city and various administrators and mayors, they have a love affair with private industry. So I'm suspecting the way it's playing out, And I don't have any facts to say that this, but it has proven itself in the past. Are they really not buying fleet and not replacing the fleet to make you the condominium owner, the apartment owner, or the resident that lives there, to compel them to have to go and hire a private company? So in other words, is the city, and I'll ask that question, is the city putting the squeeze on the homeowners in those situations? But nonetheless, it represents a health risk. It's simply unbearable. Last night, I was talking to some people. They're sitting there, and you get a strong, it will knock you down. It's so strong, the rotting garbage and what have you. So that's unfortunately, this is what we get when we get the new guys who pick up the ball and run with the train and hanging out with the big boys and just standing there, have no clue, not really concerned about it. And I've come to learn, if you want to tell the good in a man, if a woman or administrator, that an elected official, watch for the BS that they find themselves in. You know, for example, recently he was riding a bike down. This is Caldwell, riding a bike down there. You try to take a bike ride. Did you see him make any declarations to really go out there? Did he immediately send out street sweepers to sweep the portion of the road that people drive on the bicycles. You ever drive the edge of the road or the curves with the ball bearing like gravel that spewed on the roadway? Do you see any real aggressive effort? So it's all hogwash. I've watched Caldwell now, and he may have some good points about himself, but he's using the same old tactics. Bulky item trash. You go to Ever Beach on Fort Weaver Road, you'll see it littered along the way down in Ever. Piles of it. Why wasn't he out there demanding? And by the way, now, they have increased their fleet of side loaders to a large number. If you remember, there was a report, most of them, some 50% of them or more, were broken down. So they spent all of their money buying the side loaders. But the people, unfortunately for them, that are in Ever Beach and those communities that I've named, as I talk to you today, and I apologize for you guys, I think that you should call the mayor and send him an email or something and let him know your displeasure with this, as you've expressed it with me, because it's wrong. And a couple of things there that goes with that is, you see, you as a complex, some of you get it for free. Some of you pay, but all you have to do, apparently, is ask. So there are certain city workers that live in, like, for example, over in Mililani area, former administrator for the city on the Mufi Hanuman. His apartment building gets the free pickup front-end loader. That condominium does not have to pay for that service. So you might want to contact the mayor and ask him, what gives here? What is this entire game that you're playing? How is it that we can turn the TV on and see your smiling face standing knee-deep in trash and there's no flies, no rats, no roaches? What you do, sterilize it for the shot? But the reality is, out there in Ever Beach, out there in Helilua, and all of those areas, you will find trash standing as I speak. And they probably, remember now, the one truck that's working is assigned in the town of Honolulu. The one in Kailua, I'm told by various workers and out there in Kailua too, they don't get involved and loan their trucks because they don't want it to break down, because if they break down in Kailua, the people in Kailua, they have a longer fang or a bigger bite than the people out there. So Caldwell and his administration doesn't really fear the Ever Beach because he know he can shuck and jive them. But he won't pull that in the Kailua communities, if you know what I mean. So this is something that I know it's difficult to start off on a Sunday morning throwing rocks at someone, but your mirror 7 days a week, and if I got to turn on the TV and see you one more time standing there with a dog and pony show, I want to know, well, okay, fine, that's good. There's a dog and there's a pony. And then I have to remind myself that dogs and ponies produce waste. So what are you doing with the waste, Mr. Mayor? Let's get with it, and let's give the people there and Ever Beach some relief. So anyway, that's what we have, and if you have any questions or comments, you can call 524-1080. I'll entertain some calls. But those of you out there in Ever Beach, I've posted something up, as I say, pictures, and I've alerted some of the TV stations. Hopefully they can help you get relief, and hopefully they can ask the mayor. And I'm quite curious, if they do, in fact, do a story, will the mayor be standing there owning up to this problem? And will he come clean with us and get that? And folks out there, I do apologize, because I stood there last night and smelled as I've been taking pictures, and it was unbearable. And so these are closely situated to homes. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Hi, Carol. Isn't it interesting how I'm so anxious to get the stuff off the streets of the homeless, just take it and throw it away, but they're not wanting to get the bulky trash, you know, and we're on the same kind of sidewalks, you know, they're everywhere, and they don't, but all the way down, and we're not going to have those folks have their possessions, you know, mm-hmm. we're going to steal them, and we're going to charge them $200 to get them back, or we just trash it.
Yeah.
And you know what gets me about this is there was a judgment about 3 weeks ago coming from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, Federal Court, that said that L.A. has been having a big thing with this for years, and the federal court said no, you, it's unconstitutional. You cannot take you cannot steal people's stuff off sidewalks. Period.
Right.
Case closed. This the Supreme Court refused to take this case. So how can the city go against federal law? And get away with it? I'm very confused. Anyway, that's my comment.
Okay.
I'll listen to you.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. Call back if you like. Okay.
Yeah.
Aloha. Yeah, I just can't begin to think why someone would take something so important and something so simple that one of the parting shots that I'd share with you of greater concerns is that you see, when that route is missed on Thursday and it's picked up on Monday, you, the taxpayer, you're going to pay overtime to the worker. And if I was a worker, I darn should be right there to make that money, because that's, you know, no fault of the worker. But Caldwell, man, you're looking good on TV, baby, but you ain't looking good on the books. It's just not. You need to go back and watch some old footage, like the football players, and watch Mufi Hanneman and see to what the Never Never Land, his behavior drove him to, and why he's out there floundering like a fish out of water. You got to do something, Kurt. This is bad business. You can't. This isn't the rail. We're not going to allow you to go get a team of friends and start lying and cheating and give us this quick hand movement. We're going to hold you accountable for this, because it has some serious consequences, health risks. And it's just simply not fair that these people have to sit there and smell the trash, and the kids got to walk around and stand around, play with it. You know, I saw a couple of kids walking around, and they're walking up to put the trash in. Imagine it's already full and bulging, and the lid won't close, and they're trying to put more in. But he looked good on TV, I gotta say, man. I'm thinking I need his makeup. Well, no, I'd need a lot of makeup, though. I'd probably, probably go broke on just trying to look as good as he do. But you get my drift. It's not about looking good. It's about the taxpayer. It's about good service to people. And trash is plays a very serious role in politics. You know, even Dr. Martin Luther King, I mean, his death was related to trash. He went to Memphis to help the sanitation workers. So don't take it lightly, Kurt. Your dog and pony show might backfire on you, because when they get past the smell, your show don't meet the smell test anymore. We need some good service. We need respectable delivery and time of these services, and fair. No more delays in this. So anyway, I want to thank, I borrowed a little song here from, while I'm telling Kurt that man up to it, and this isn't child's play, but a little friend of mine, Choice, over there in Ever Beach, I borrowed a tape from him, and this goes to Kurt Caldwell. Thank you.
should all remember to recycle.
Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KWAI staff and management.
Okay. Again, thank you, Choice, for that letting me use that. That's very appropriate, and I hope the mayor gets the message. It's not this isn't child's play, and we already have learned our lessons, so it's not a teaching moment nor a teachable moment. We need to act, and it's time to call the cows back into the barn, Mr. Mayor. There's too many things, loose ends that you haven't spoken up on. And so we don't need another TV show or reality. Mr. Mayor goes to garbage. We need to see you go to the point and take these matters serious. And speaking of matters serious, let's talk about the Board of Water Supply, some things that I wanted to share with you that we didn't get, and this is also a follow-up, and I really appreciate Mr. Lau, Ernest Lau, and Ms. Burgo for coming in and sharing with you. And they're continuing to provide me information and give me information that I request. And so hopefully this thing will, for you the taxpayer, you the ratepayer, will turn into something good. And so, what, 1 second. So what was happening is that last week I didn't get a chance to share with you. You know, we talked about customer services, and I didn't raise it on air with Mr. Lau, no fault of his or anything. It was just the timing, and I wanted to make sure that it was done so that I didn't provide you any false information. And what it is that I was concerned with and had learned is that not only is the customer services slow, as many of you describe, and non-responsive or lack of response in many instances, I wanted to explore why and how, what was the contributing factors. And we tossed around many of things, but one thing that I did discover, and I don't know scientifically if it has a direct impact, but did you know, as I have learned, that the Board of Water Supply actually does the billing for the county of Maui as well as the county of Kauai. Now, my question is, if in fact we're strapped for people and shortage of people and they had cutbacks and we were relying on a computer estimates and radio communications for that would communicate, and we were reading these AMRs and the ECRs and what have you, if we were cutting back on staff and we couldn't cover all that exists here on Honolulu or in on Oahu, then how could we engage in providing a service, the same Board of Water Supply, a service to Kauai, and to Maui. So, again, that I'd like to see what the mayor and the chairman of the Honolulu City Council think about this. So what are they going to do? But I also found, I did send, and I'll read some of the questions that I sent and share with you some of the answers that I did receive back from Board of Water Supply. So I sent on the, a couple of days back, July 10th, I sent to Kauai and to Maui asking them questions. Now, you know, many of you say, well, why don't you interview this guy or bring him on your show and what have you, and, you know, or you should talk to these guys. Or some of you have on occasion say, well, you need to work with these guys, and because they'll work with you, you just have to ask and all. Well, let me share a little trick. Just yesterday, there was an article in the Star Advertiser in the back of the local section on the second page. And basically, what it was that I had written questions to Kauai, and I sent the questions to the people at Kauai on the 10th. I never received a response other than, we received your questions, and the person that's handling this is out of the office, and I'll get them to him, something of that nature. So I'm waiting for my questions, and I ask politely, could you provide, and these are simple questions because they're doing it every day and they've been doing it for years, so you could answer them. Well, I didn't get an answer. But what I did notice, something prompted the Kauai people, Department of Water, Kauai Water, whatever you call them, to contribute or write or have the advertiser write an article to inform the public, some of the ratepayers on Kauai, that they would be getting corrected bills. So if you need to correct bills, then what is really happening? Are they experiencing the same thing that we are experiencing? Are they handling software that does not work? Are they calculating? So I suspect, as I suspected when I first started this endeavor to look into this months and months ago, is that you and I and people in Maui and Kauai, we are getting ripped, being defrauded. They know that it failed, they being earlier people than Lau, they know these things. They know that they're providing a service to Kauai and Maui. And so let me just give you some questions that I had sent over to. First, I'll talk about the Board of Water Supply, their response. And basically, I, as a continuation of my efforts to understand the Honolulu Board of Water Supply, its function and services, I would like to ask several questions regarding the relationship with counties of Maui and Kauai. Does the Honolulu Board of Water Supply provide any type of service to Kauai or Maui counties, agencies? They say yes. The Board of Water Supply provides billing services to both Maui and Kauai. How long has the Board of Water Supply been providing this service? We're researching this, and we'll get back to you. Are the ratepayers' bills in Kauai and Maui counties based on actual physical meter readings or electronic readers? Their answer, Board of Water Supply, we have forwarded this question to Kauai and Maui counties for their responses. Next question, does Board of Water Supply, does BWS provide computerized estimates for Maui County or Kauai? If yes, and then this is what they say. I ask, when did it start? If yes, and on and on. We have forwarded this question to Kauai and Maui counties for their responses. This is like trying to get good straight answers is like trying to hold water in your hand, you know, just your naked hands. But we'll get, there'll be some residue, and we'll deal with the residue. How is information communicated to the Board of Water Supply for issuance of bills to the Kauai and Maui ratepayers? Again, we have forwarded this question to Kauai and Maui counties for their responses. Does Kauai and Maui agencies pay for the service? Yes. So that brings me to the question, if you're selling your services, why aren't you reporting that to us, and why can't we see that money? And then would that offset the cost that you need not to raise the monthly fee or the processing fee? I don't know. But if yes, if they pay for the services, I ask, they say, this is Board of Water Supply's answer, and I'm not kidding you. I'll post these up on carolcox.com. We have forwarded this question to Kauai. Now, you would think they would know how much Kauai pays. They would be automatically, you would know that. But they had to forward that to Kauai and ask Kauai, how much do you pay us? Where is the logic? But anyway, nothing like pure water or pure BS, or BWS or whatever. Does the Board of Water Supply charge the Kauai and Maui ratepayers a service fee for or other charges for billing? They say no. The billing costs are collected by the county agencies through their customer fees. Now, my question is, if you're charging the people on Oahu for processing their bills and delivering their bills in the mailbox monthly, then why are you not charging Kauai and Maui? Charging those two, the ratepayers in those two counties, a processing fee. Something isn't right here, folks. I'm not trying to muddy the waters. I'm just trying to get a clearer picture. Something's wrong here. I think there is fraud, and I say it again. You cannot have the same services being provided to two other counties, a billing process. I assume the billing is the need for the billing. The fee that you're going to charge at $7 is to process that bill, then why on earth are you not charging Kauai and Maui ratepayers? Or is it built in the charge that you're charging Kauai? But you don't know, BWS, because you got to send the questions to Kauai and Maui to find out how much they're paying you for a service that you provide. What is the oversight? How do you check to see if they are up to date, if they're paying you per gallon or whatever the original agreement was? Are the Kauai and Maui ratepayers billed monthly or bi-monthly? If neither, please advise the type of billing process that is used. Maui and Kauai County gets a monthly bill, but they don't get charged by BWS for the processing fee. But here in Honolulu, we, the ratepayers, are taxed with the processing fee because now we're going month to month. So you're looking at least a minimum of $12 million ripped from your little hardworking hands, while the same service, apparently, as best as I can conclude, is being provided for Kauai and Maui for free. Now I see why Kauai didn't want to answer me and ran to the newspapers and got a little blurb in there to alert the public that someone's asking questions. So if you're over there in Kauai listening up, please give me a call, 524-1080. I'd like to know what is happening over there. But anyway, I tell them so that we can get a better picture. Could you please describe BWS's role in the process from metering to the actual billing of the ratepayers, including delivery of information to Board of Water Supply and its delivery of that information to your agency and the ratepayers. Their answer, the Board of Water Supply acts as a service bureau to process and bill the customers of their other two of the other two counties. The Board of Water Supply does not collect their meter readings, nor does it handle customer services, collections, or investigations for the counties' customers. The counties have direct access to CC&B. You heard that term. And system for their customer base only to utilize the system and information in their support of their customers. We hope we have answered your questions, except for the ones that counties need to respond to and the ones that we are willing to we're still researching. So that was the Board of Water Supply's question. So my question is it distracting or taxing the availability of the workers, the meter readers, the response time, the customer service, the quality of care that you get here on this island? Is any of this activity occurring on Maui and Kauai impacting and causing a delay and eroding the services or the quality of services that you may have here on this island? So there's a lot more to be looked at in this. And let me say something to you about, I've been reading things, and I want you to listen good, because I'm still investigating this one. But be aware that this CC&B or these other technologies or softwares, in some instances around the nation, certain softwares that are used by water companies and utilities companies can have a reporting device, or as part of the software can actually glean from, and I don't do dope, and don't think that I'm being a conspiracy theorist. You can tune to another show. This is something that I know to be factual, that it does exist, but does it happen here? I don't know yet, but I am in pursuit of it. And that is, that software, if you were to miss a payment or were delinquent, that software gleans that information and can deliver it to the credit bureau. So when you go in next year to buy a new car, or you go in next year to get that loan so that your daughter or son can go off to college, you then might find yourself having a bad credit rating because you were delinquent in maybe two water bills. So these are things, and do listen careful. I don't know if the Board of Water Supply is allowing that or is aware of that or are participating in that. So I don't want to, this is not an indictment or insinuating that it is existing. The softwares out there do have the potential. So the question is, are they open? Do we know about it if it is happening? And what are they doing to prevent that? Those are some of the main questions. And so, again, I just had to chuckle and think, well, isn't that cute? The county of Kauai, of all the good things and all the beauty over there, they had to resort to run out ahead and couldn't answer Carol Cox, his little questions. They had to run and tell the ratepayers, hey, we've been screwing you for the last whatever, but we're going to make it good. Yeah, so am I. I'm going to make it good. I'm going to make it, hopefully, keep digging and scratching. And I believe that with this process, folks, it's exhausting. Every time you turn over one leaf, you find another tree shedding its leaves, and you pick up another leaf, and there's another tree, and this is a whole forest of new leaves with new discoveries, and they're not all pleasant. You know, the semi-autonomous aspect of the Board of Water Supply that I talked about, Ernie Martin, the chairman of that city council, of the Honolulu City Council. The bill was passed unanimously. That was before the city council to revoke or rescind or repeal the semi-autonomous status of the Board of Water Supply. Arnie Martin held it, the bill that didn't let it get heard. That name, Arnie Martin, I don't know. I don't know. I know there's Bert and Ernie with Sesame Street, but that's educational. But this guy is taking us to school all over again. He is teaching us what it is to be chairman. We find him involved and with questionable activities and obtaining his law degree while working on city time. We find that he was instrumental in giving good grants and redefining them from grants or from loans to grants and bye, and many other things. So, you know, it's like I'm hoping, I was applauding the police department for getting their raise because at 3 o'clock in the morning when someone's scrambling in your door, his family is at home on their own. But the policemen are out there standing there and trying to confront someone that was trying to cut into your screen or with a gun or gone nuts or standoff. It's only 4%. I can live with that. And when you look at just Friday, I was watching at Sandy Beach, the fire department. They were practicing rappelling from the helicopter. Now, boy, we're going to complain when they ask for a raise. But when the last time you slid down a rope out of a helicopter that was hovering to help a guy who may have been able to avoid that, but he was too stupid because he wanted to get a picture and stepped over the ledge and fell. And now this guy, the fireman, have to come risk his life, not to mention the pilot who got to sit there and navigate through the bushes and or stay above it and hope like the Dickens that nothing get entangled or the wind doesn't throw some freak. And we complain about them getting a raise. If you've ever known a policeman, hey, forget the donut shop and all that. That's just something, a stigma that has come along with it. You try leaving your family to fend for themselves while you go out and protect the rest of the world against stupid things, crooked politicians, and all the lies to be told, and see what you would ask for. You'd probably ask for 50%, or probably 100%, or you'd probably say, "The hell with this job, no way." So I'm not defending the policeman, but it reminds me of all of these things that go on. Imagine what can happen. Stabbings in the parks and what have you. And guys in blue with gold patches got to run there and do it. You wouldn't do it for $1 million. I guarantee you wouldn't. But they got to go out there and do it because they have a contractual agreement with you as citizens. You pay them a salary it's rough. So anyway, we need to go lightly, and I don't like taxes, trust me. But we need to project on people like Kirk Caldwell, who stand there and goes, "Oh, you know, I didn't see this one coming, you know." But let me tell you about this trash, this bulky item pickup trash. Let me tell you about that. Hey, let me tell you about the bicycles and get the some bike path on them, you know. But he didn't see the 16% coming. Not a good mayor. But I guess you wouldn't see it if you're busy running a puppet show and out there trying to put on a smiling face so you can elevate yourself to governor, I guess. That seems to be the way the juice flows here in this town. Guys get in that should never have gotten in. And they have aspirations that even they can't really define. They're being carried by the current. And then they come up with these dog and pony shows. You know, it's something that leaves a lot to be desired, and we'll get past it. But in the next hour, I'm going to be talking about the Hawaiian homelands. Again, this is how they're treating the land. You know, I noted today, I see an article about people dying in line, waiting. And we've talked about that many occasions. But I have an even greater concern in that the people that are managing these lands, the Hawaiian homelands, and especially the Abercrombies, and we'll get to that. Once again, look at that article and look at many other instances, and just on face value will tell you why Abercrombie has to go. This man has no love. He can wear all the fancy Aloha shirts. He can bring in all the bratas and put them on his cabinet and appoint them as local, but he's still screwing them. He wants them to watch the door, and that's all it is. He throws a big party, come one, come all. But the guys with the bucks has access to him, and the guys that own the land, the native people, are getting ripped. And we'll lay that out, and how these administrators in the past and present allow activities to occur on these lands that are polluting, that are fouling up the places. And so when the Hawaiian community do get it back, if they get it back, they'll have to spend millions, if not billions, to clean up something that they found clean. But anyway, we'll be back shortly, and thanks for joining. 524-1080 is the number. This is the Carol Cox Show. Aloha.
Show heard every Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108. Tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show right here at KWAI Honolulu. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KWAI staff.
This is KWAI Honolulu 1080 on the AM dial.
sweet Lord. I really wanna see you. I really wanna be with you. I really wanna see you, Lord. But it takes so long, my Lord. My sweet Lord. My Lord. Oh, my Lord. I really wanna know you. I really wanna go with you. I really wanna show you, Lord, that it won't take long, my Lord.
Hallelujah.
My sweet Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my Lord.
Hallelujah.
My sweet Lord.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Okay, good morning again, and welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. You can find us at carolcox.com for all of the shows that we've broadcast, or if you want to go back there and need to do some checks and balances to see what's fair and balanced. I don't know what fair and balanced mean, and especially in this town when they only talk to you when they want to. So I guess fair and in a hurry. But I was going to share with you just a little, we talking, and many occasions we talk peripherally, I do, about the issues of race, and you know my feeling on them. I think you do. You know, being an African American and living in this world, and for those of you, you can turn your radio off now and never listen again, and to characterize me as a thin-skinned, sensitive, radical black guy. But black guys have opinions and emotions, too, because for some reason, I learned that when I had to go to the bathroom and had stand in line there and wait, and it appeared as if there are other people just as anxious to go there, so I figured, well, I must be equal. Not really, just... But anyway, this Trayvon Martin matter... We, for those of you out there that are afraid of the word, the N-word, the nigger word, all of that, you know, okay, we understand. But don't forget, we still have black people being shot and killed on the streets. And, yeah, I know it's not about race, and it should never be about race. Isn't that right? But... how did we arrive with six white females on the jury? I thought it was a matter of being judged by your peers. Apparently, both parties were being judged because when you look at the final decision, they attribute a lot of this decision because he was pounding his head into the pavement. So for those of you out there that... go to church in the morning, and then when a black person or a person of color start to tell you how painful it is, then divest yourself of this quickness to want to shut them up and characterize them as thin-skinned, radical. We're just trying to convey to you the hurt that you experience when you have the same kind of nonsense happen to you. Has nothing to do with radicalism or anything. Has anything to do with disbelief in God, anything. It's just, it feels good to be able to walk down the sidewalk and not be accosted by anyone. Anyone. And when we are, we seek justice. And we wait for the system to fairly, that's supposedly balanced and guided by the Constitution. Fine. But I'll share a little story why I don't want to engage in the discussion of who's right, who's wrong in that case. But I served as a special agent for years, and I was on a surveillance down in Beeville, Texas. And we conducted this surveillance from Jefferson City, Missouri, for several days. And we have an airplane up in the air, and we're following a motorhome to Mexico. And we have on this motorhome, we have attached unknowingly to the driver, the owner, who's suspected of been documented of smuggling. And so we are in pursuit. And if you can imagine following someone for days in a car, and they're in the luxury of a motorhome, all the amenities. So we did our job, and on the way back to it, continue the surveillance on the return from Mexico. We had the occasion to pull over because the party that we were pursuing or surveilling pulled over at a truck stop in Beeville, Texas. And now we're all in unmarked cars, but clearly if you're a policeman, you would know it's a federal law enforcement car. I mean, or it's a law enforcement car. You would know that. Anyway, so the gentleman pulls over at the truck stop, and the bird dog goes to rest. That's a gadget you attach to a vehicle or anything, and when it's motion or movement, it tells you, and you can follow with the plane and, you know, all that cockamamie spy stuff. But so you follow him. He pulls over, and we think we're tired. We're exhausted. So we'll grab some shut-eye, because as soon as he start up the engine to move, the bird dog will alert us, and we'll be able to hop back on. And we have a plane also that's receiving the signal. And I mean, if you've ever been tired, you're tired. I mean, really tired. Because you got to be on top of your game. So we all gather around behind the truck stop. And we park out of conceal our cars. And wherever we could sleep. So I found myself a piece of cardboard that was in the trash bin. And I'm laying there and with the door open. I'm laying on the ground and sleeping. And I'm African American and the rest are white guys or white American, white males, the other special agents. This Sheriff Gonzalez came up to me and kicked me square in the butt.
Get up. Get up. What you doing here? What are you doing here? Show me some ID.
I'm a special agent and we're on official duty and everybody else around. So while I'm standing there trying to explain, give me some ID. So I handed him my badge and this ignorant monkey took my badge and called in over the radio to try to see if there was a badge stolen because I'm a black man with a gold badge and a gun. This is reality, folks. Screw the boy that shot Trayvon Zimmerman. Forget that. That doesn't even rise to the level. This is an educated, supposedly, sheriff. And I give you his name, so if you want to go back and confirm it, I purposely tell you his name. And I tell him, we're conducting official business. Meantime, all of my comrades, my team players that I'm in pursuit with, said nothing. So, finally, he realized that I was... I guess in Texas they don't have black people to rise the level of anything but crooks. So it probably was a shock to his system. But nonetheless, it's a reality, folks. And so these are the things that, as an African-American male, we have to deal with. You wouldn't want to hear that because you can't get past the N-word. Because somewhere down the line, it hurts so bad. But you try being called a nigger for many, 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 many years, hundreds of years, and see how bad it hurts. If you think it hurts to hear it, just think how bad it is to live it. And so, to bring this to closure on this incident, everything calmed down. He realized that I was a special agent, a bona fide special agent, no problem. So, weeks passed, and I had the occasion to attend a regional meeting with all of my friends and co-workers and special agents. And they found it to be humorous. So they presented me with the piece of cardboard wrapped in ribbon as a joke. So I offer that to say to you that you can't be the regulator and you can't be the judge and the jury and still not and then have the word nigger shake your bones so hard that then when the reality presents itself, you can't get past the stench that you can pick six white female. How on earth did they arrive at that level? Forget the word nigger. How on earth, ask yourselves, do we arrive at six white females? What was the purpose? Do they bear something better? They have greater insight? They have the ability to weigh better than black women or Mexican Americans or Indian or whomever? So just ask yourself, it's not about Trayvon Martin and Zimmerman. The real people that's on trial is you. The people who pray, the people who get nervous when you use the word nigger. And becomes the N-word. And then you say, well, but the rappers do it. Yeah, but the rappers never rise to the occasion of assembling with intent. Assemble a jury. Six white females is not of your peers. You're not being judged by your peers. So anyway, if you have a comment, you're welcome to call in and share with me. And as I say, you get what it is here. I don't live life to be entertaining people. I want to educate you and share with you that no, black people are not any different than you are. I can attest to that because I'm a black person. But it's what happens around us. It's what happened to us that we get labeled as the guy who's sensitive and the radicals and all of that. But the bottom line is we're still being shot. I'm being kicked in the butt by a sheriff, and I can give you many stories where I've just been, in my official capacity, have been accosted by policemen because I'm a black man. You can say what you want. You can give me the educated version, but I was there. I lived it. So anyway, if we want to get to the bottom of these things, what we have to do is let the other fellow tell you that it hurts. And listen, you don't have to cut his sentence off or shorten his statements or read into what he's trying to say. No. He's telling you exactly what happened. So the Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin, nothing to do with courtroom. It's all about life. We've really didn't come very far because we're still finding ourselves resorting to behaviors that equate to bigotry and hatred, stacking the courtrooms and what have you. So anyway, that's the way it is, and you heard it here, and hold me accountable. And I will move on to, and now let's go back to the important stuff. Anyway, what I was going to share with you is that the Department of Hawaii and Homelands. Now, imagine yourself being a native Hawaiian. We'll start with the business aspect of it. And you've got a good business sense about yourself. And you're, let's just throw in a little curve here, you're female. I guess you can title this show The Thin Skin Colored People. I don't know, people of color, but whatever you title it, just listen closely. You might learn something today. In this process, there's the Department of Hawaii and Homeland. They have a land manager. This land manager is hired by the state, which is the Department of Hawaii and Homeland. And they have a level of people and rankings. And so you as a female, native Hawaiian, company that's flourishing, functioning, and you want to lease a piece of land to process something, perform a service, legitimate, legal, and all. And the land agent tell you, no, we don't want that kind of business in this area because we just don't want that. We want to protect the land. And in this case, it's crushing rocks. And in this case, it's processing and location is, like in real estate, is everything. Location and trucking and construction is everything. Because if you're centrally located, you lose less time, less man hours, less fuel, and trucking, and you can see a bigger profit and less wear and tear on the car. Well, you as a native Hawaiian woman, you can't get that because the land agent, who's native Hawaiian, tell you you can't get it because we don't want that type of business being performed here. And so you can take this piece of property at the end of the North Pole and we'll help you get that, and give me your papers and we'll file them. Well, guess what? You give the papers, they don't file them. Then you learn that the very property or in the close vicinity of that, the very material and the activities and the services you were hoping to get in and provide, you find not one company that has been allowed to come in and conduct that same kind of work. You learn that they're not native Hawaiian. You learn that Now you're competing with someone that didn't have to get an NPDES permit, who was brought in under the wings of, and this is Pasha, for example, who owns this land out there at Barbers Point, Kalailoa. Pasha subleases to roads and highway builders. They're crushing rocks. They're crushing and storing asphalt. Yet, the Hawaiian Homelands denies a native Hawaiian the right to do this. Yet, all that is said in forest compliance, when you look at the TMK and you follow that, and you, as I've done, you research it, and you find that all that is said in the whole process is that, and I'm quoting a statement from Ward Keahi Young, who is the land agent for Hawaiian Homes. Now, in regards to these people moving in and setting up shop, while he's denied the other party access to the same, or unobstructed access, I should say. So when it comes to dealing with the permits, this is the kind of looseness this Abercrombie and his cronies, they pick these guys, these plantation owners, pick these good guys that'll do anything, they'll screw their own just to satisfy the plantation owner. And in this case, listen to this. This is to Richard Thompson Road and Highway Builders from Ward K. Young. See, so when you're generating wastewater and the potential of runoff and chemicals and contaminants, you should have a storm management program or something in place, or an NPDES exemption or something. And if you don't have one, you must have gotten an exemption or at least clearance from the state health department. So this is his statement, Ward Young's statement. Also, it was comforting to hear from you that the city DPP already visited your site at Campbell and said that there was no need for permits. I'm also comforted to hear that you amended Pasha's NPDES permit to include your materials. Now, why would a state agency land agent be writing in such content, or context, that he's comforted when in fact his job is to make sure that you darn well better have a permit, and you'd better darn well go and get that permit and present that permit? So the statement should have been, I am in receipt of your permit, I have put it on file, and we will adhere to the monthly or weekly or daily inspections and look forward to receiving your reports. But no, that's not what happened in this case. So if we move another 200 yards or maybe less, another business, Close Construction, is allowed to situate itself with the same type of function, with the same type of operation that they denied the Native Hawaiian woman. And in turn, this party, Close Construction, as I have here in my files, in Mililani files, I recovered records, that they were in fact in violation and was run out of the Sandwich Isles property that was allowed to crush rock and store, and were in violation of the stockpiling and what have you, and the types of materials. So they ran them out of there. Again, just as a footnote, the owner of Sandwich Isles even commented something to the effect that he was dissatisfied with the fines that were given to Close Construction for its violations. So, once again, the State Health Department gives kid glove treatment. So, what I said in the early hour is that how people are standing in line waiting for a lease and all, there are people that are being denied, just outright denied. Can't get their papers processed. Being told you need a permit from the city. Yet the city, I have letters here where the city writes the people, not the and tell them, because it is Hawaiian homelands, we don't govern that. We don't regulate. Yet the land agent tells the native Hawaiian person, you need to get all of these permits. So I suspect, my favorite word, there's fraud in this entire process. I am still waiting for many documents that I've made a request of the Abercrombie administration on the Hawaiian homeland to add insult to injury and to convey my point is that Daryl Young, who worked for Nestor Garcia in the city council, was appointed as deputy by Neil Abercrombie of the Hawaiian homeland. If Mr. Abercrombie felt any importance or kindness or love that he proclaimed openly and is overt about in his ha-ha-ha spinning and grinning moments, how he loved the native people, you could show your love by putting in position people that is going to be educated, that's going to be honest, that's going to serve and going to represent and respect the needs of the native people, because that's why they call it the Department of Hawaiian Homeland. Not the Department of Hungarian Homeland, not the Department of anything other than its native people should be placed first. That was the whole thing, if the native people want to rent it out to others. And I've talked about this with Collie Watson, who has given us a perfect example. Why on earth would Neil Abercrombie's administration and others prior to Neil allow, let's say, a Carol Cox to come in and rent or lease 20 prime acres for 7 cents a square foot or a penny a square? Who knows? What, I get a discount. And then I become the landlord and I rent too. Others at a higher premium. How is it that Mr. Abercrombie and the Attorney General and others could sit by idly and see this developing and unfolding and being implemented and allowed to conduct itself this way, this agency, and not be appalled and not be concerned and do something to take measures to change it? Oh, you're talking about walking down the street with a hoodie on and eating Skittles. The Hawaiian people, every single moment, they're being attacked from the left, the right, the center, you name it. And to make matters worse, it's set up, it's recognized. The work has already been done and things are in place to facilitate, to make these communities better, make these people better, make them more financially viable. But guess what? You put Daryl Young in. You put Jovi Masagatani, who's been there for a long time prior to. She served on other administrators. So this is really a sad day. A really sad, sad day. Then we take, for example, I've told you about, there's Mufi Hanneman's cousin, I'm interviewing people now and talking more, and where people were hijacked. They need permits. Go to Mufi's cousin. He'd charge them big bucks. We've talked about this before in other instances, but every other day or week, someone will call me and tell me a yet another story. So my question out there to everyone is it really right that we would have a Department of Hawaiian Homelands? And as I've said to you, like, for example, Norman Sakamoto, who was a state senator who ran for lieutenant governor and lost, found his way at the Department of Hawaiian Homelands as an employee. Are we putting the Hawaiian people interest first? And I know what some of you are saying. We don't need welfare for the Hawaiians anyway. They don't deserve it. They just want something for nothing. Well, it was theirs before it was yours. And you took it for nothing. If we want to get to something for nothing equation. We have to do what's right. And do what's right, meaning you need to simply give the people their just justice. They deserve it. It's already, many other people have come before us and concluded that something was wrong. So to rectify that or to clear things up or to make things a little bit better, but then it starts to collapse from top. And I believe that if the Department of Hawaiian Homelands was truly administered the proper way, you would see a community, a vibrant, more flourishing community of Native people. They can employ people as well. They're not just out there hiring just only Native. They'll hire anybody with the expertise. But give them a chance to enjoy what history has defined. It's not the individual that's coming and wanting to capitalize. Don't fault that party. Fault the parties who pushed them and pinched them and stripped their lands and ripped them off and what have you. Put some of the onus on those people. And then turn and ask yourself, are the Native people being served properly when we have governors, when we have mayors who do things that allow the Native people to be victimized again and again and again? So 524-1080 if you want to call in and have a question or comment. I'd like to hear from you if you're interested. But that's the long and short of that. And we know that ceded land, we know that not just at the Hawaiian homelands that is disappointing. It is quite clear that throughout the state agencies, their main interest is not about Native people. And I very seriously doubt, unless it was project specific, that none of this relate or have been wedded together for a result in a total environment, or we'll call it an ecosystem. I'm going to be writing an article in the Hawaii Fishing News, and I'll post it at carolcox.com. But take, for example, if you go down to the Alawai, you'll see a large blue, black bottom patrol vessel. You can't miss it. It'll be by the Hawaii Prince. And it says law enforcement. Now, you know, we throw a lot of money at these people to go out there and protect. And if you look at their patches, just the patches alone, Malama Kaina, you know, take care of the land, it's perpetuating, blah, 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 for the Native people and on and on. And you've heard me say that I think that most of these activities that the so-called management of the native species and native in the natural environment here in Hawaii is done through posters. It seems that everybody that really do something got a poster. They got to get a poster and a slideshow. But when it comes to the real work, for example, this boat that I'm talking about, they have told, I've made a request for records, and we're going to see if they provide them. But on the periphery, what I've heard internally, they spend thousands of dollars on repairing the engine, thousands of dollars painting the boat, maintenance and upkeep, and the boat just sits there. And how do I know that? I know that because there is a tree growing out of the engine. A tree, a mango, a mangrove tree growing out of the law enforcement Department of Land and Natural Resources patrol boat. I'll post that on carolcox.com just to share you that picture. But this is the importance that Abercrombie and the others place on the native people and the native environment here. But boy, are they quick to say it's pristine, it's fragile and irreplaceable. And we need more money. We need more money for alien species. We need more money for law enforcement. We need more money. And when you understand now, the Department of Land and Natural Resources, the boats that they have, that is pretty much, other than the fire department or the big fire boat or the Coast Guard, these are supposed to be your first responders. These are supposed to be the people patrolling up and down the coast. And they're supposed to be providing equipment that's safe and maintained, because you wouldn't want to put them in harm's way either. But I am not lying to you. They're probably down there with a chainsaw, not knowing that the chainsaw will cut the engine off too. You can just pull it out with your hand. But if you get a chance to go down there, if you want to see how your government works and how it is branching out into new phases, go down there and look at that boat. Look at the stern. Look on the starboard side, or the port side, depending. Anyway, if you're in the back, look to the left. And look under there, and you'll see for yourself. And to make matters worse, the trim tabs, the exhausts, have sponges and have calcified that this boat, you'd be lucky to navigate it, to be able to turn it any direction. But it proudly sits there and says, law enforcement. See, that is what is happening with all of these administrators and all of these governors that come along. And they put on that beautiful Aloha shirt and they get that fancy hat with the pheasant lei. And they become native Hawaiian. And then they become Pono. And they speak from the Na'au. And they're in love with the people. And my auntie Maddie and Hattie and my, you know, and Uncle Bob and Uncle Joe. But the truth be told, that's all a show. When the doors close, they're in the back room dealing with their buddies with the money, whether it's the Kaka'ako development or anything. The reality is, they're not here to protect you folks. They're not here to perpetuate anything other than the buck. If you don't like what I'm saying, then I guess you could change stations or change the world. But it's these people that we vote for. And it's these people that we repeatedly see them show up on TV without question, without challenge, and smile. And they have adopted all of the behaviors that allow them to look like they care, whether it's taking a tea leaf and having a kahu to take and bless something, or to take the prod of the stick, as you see them all standing around poking the to build something or to develop something. They're in the hiatus. They love it. The image that goes away, they're caring for the Aina. They're caring for the people of the Aina. They're caring for the native Hawaiians. The reality is, brother, there's somebody that they wiped their hands of that, and there's somebody that is responsible for collecting the shovels, cleaning up the tea leaves, and making sure everything is ready for development. They back looking for another with their hands out to another developer, or hiring another Darryl Young, or hiring, appointing another Jovi Masagatani. And if you go to carolcox.com, you can see I had posted his statement, the governor's, and the full hearing. And you can see the various people that came along and testified on her behalf. See, these outsiders know how to work you guys. Yep, they do. They've been pretty successful at it. So why stop now? And I know there's many of you say that, well, it brings jobs. That's right. It brings jobs. But what kind of jobs? And who, you once you build it, I know many of the union guys can't get jobs, but they're paying the union dues because the union tell them they ain't enough work. So anyway, that is the kinds of things that are going on. Now, there is a situation out at Hawaii Kai site that comes to my attention with, there's a new monk seal, and I'll post some pictures up there for you on that, carolcox.com. This is Irma N3. Some say this is her eighth pup that she's successfully, if this one fledged, it would be, she have had eight. Very energetic, robust, a little larger than Kaivi. And Kaivi is doing well. If you want to see her, she's out at Spitting Cave foraging for food, fat as a pumpkin. But, you know, it's a joy to see that. But here's the problem. Come nighttime, when she's hauled up, she'll be hauled out on shore for the next 5 or 6 weeks at least, nursing her baby and nurturing. You won't find a DLNR enforcement officer on patrol out there to protect this species or this animal or Irma and her pup from people that are walking with dogs or someone that may want to get too close and harass them. Because if you get too close and harass them, the mother may interpret that as a threat to herself. She may then abandon that animal, and then now we have a problem. So if you have a boat that is owned by the enforcement branch with a tree growing out of the motor while it sits in the water, ready to go, raring and ready to go. I mean, you just can't be any better, quicker response. And then you have an enforcement arm that don't work past the 7 o'clock, 4:30, 7 o'clock. But, oh, I'm sorry, I should be a little more respectful and credit Mr. Abercrombie for appointing a native Hawaiian to head the DLNR. You know, we should give credit, but we shouldn't overlook those kinds of things. You see what I mean? You can hire a Martian if you want to, or you can hire a native Hawaiian, but if your policies are suck, then everything else is going to catch it in the end. You don't care about the environment. You don't care about the people. But you hire native people as figureheads with no policies. Oh, and did I mention that this is the same governor, by the way, who still has in place a proclamation that suspended all environmental laws and codes and zones, zoning laws and what have you? But he cares. Got some beautiful ladies. I watched them. Smile that's so bright and make you want to cover your eyes. Auntie Aggie, his brother Kamaki. Oh, I just want to sit down and eat oatmeal with a straw. Now it feels so good. But there, the reality is we got boats that don't function. We have another native Hawaiian who Abercrombie allowed Isla to appoint to head the wildlife division, law enforcement branch. He's on vacation. He has a car stored over on Maui and one here, and he gets to fly home back and forth. A fixed selection process. And I'm still waiting, as I told you. There's some allegations that this law enforcement director, and I'm hoping he said, I've gotten back that I'd better watch myself. He's going to sue me for asking questions. And I'll show you the questions that I have. The questions are, did you fly aboard your vessel? This is Don Sherwood, Windward Aviation. Fly Mr. Yamamoto and Rodriguez and others aboard, and the son of Randy Awo, to Kainau Peninsula up in the streams of in the valley to collect hihivai, opai, and other species for your daughter's wedding, for Mr. Oahu's daughter's wedding. Well, Mr. Don Shiro, I did talk to him, and he said that he's not going to answer any questions. And only if the FBI asks him questions or a federal official asks him questions, and then he, if it becomes a full-blown investigation, then he'll talk. Well, again, this same contractor aircraft was used in another instance that on Molokai, doing the same kind of behavior using the electric shock, where he transported DLNR workers. Again, they care for the INA, but they pilfered it for themselves. So, anyway, this is what we have, yet no answers. But we're going to ask for questions and, you know, put in the PLDC and right out of the hole, there was Isla defending it for Abercrombie. Either Isla is blind or one dedicated soul. Whatever it is, it robs your people of fairness and equity and the making things, as to borrow a phrase from many of you, pono. Now, you can throw rocks at me for talking about a brother. It's not talking about a brother. Elevate your thoughts. This is about an institution that repeatedly robs you by putting faces that look like you, that act like you, but then use them in place to manipulate. You haven't seen them come out there. All that I've seen is Isla support the PLDC. You take Malama Tesha, look at the HCDA, and all of Tesha Malama. All of this whole thing is just one cesspool of plantation mentality, where the guy shows up with a beautiful lei, hand-carved buttons and beads and smiling. Rather chameleonic, if you ask me. Because I don't, their actions don't match their hearts as they speak. They claim their heart is in the right place. But you cannot, I can take you right now to at least 10 sites, 10, where there's oil being buried in the ground, dumped. You want to hear something else? If you really want to know about how to judge if we're doing right by the people of Hawaii, the native people. There are many small companies that rent and lease from the Department of Hawaiian Homeland or other entities that are leased from Hawaiian Homelands. There's not a single sewer permit issued to these companies out there, these startup companies. Not a single one. It is not allowed to have porta potties. So what are they doing with their waste? Well, just dumping it in the ground. Where's the state health department? Where's Abercrombie's health department in the enforcement of that? Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Yeah, just a comment. You probably know who's calling.
No, I don't. Who is this? Who be you?
you made comments about my comments, but
about who?
My comment for today is you are right on the money.
Well, thank you.
Everything you said today, I think, is totally correct.
Well,
keep pushing it.
Well, thank you, Ed. Already. Anything else? Not about me, but anything else? Anyway, thank you. But again, where are we in this forest? You know, are we just looking for the tree that we want to cut down to make our house? So if we fell a tree to build our beautiful home, does it fall down on the other trees that will knock them down and kill the young that no one else will be able to grow a tree and use it to build a house or a canoe or whatever? I don't know. I'm not trying to be fancy with my words or thoughts. I'm just saying to you people out there, it's time for a change. It's you can sit on your asses and pretend that the Lord is going to come and deliver you from this and all of that. I'm still trying to figure out many of things. But what I don't have to figure out is that there's some inactions that we should rise up. People need to just ask these questions. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
I just have a comment. Roger Morton Bus and the Handy Van. Thank you for everything you've done. appreciate it so much. I just don't speak for myself. I speak for many people, and thank you very much, Mr. Carter.
Well, we're going to talk about handy vans next week, so I'm giving you a call, sir.
Oh, 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 I
so
will be...
hold your voice.
No, no, no.
Wet your whiskers and get ready to chat.
I want your hour right now for 3 hours. Stay on the air.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
All righty.
Bye.
Okay, aloha. Anyway, we need a change. You know, we're still sitting here, and I'm going to go. I know it's Sunday, and some of you are going to say it's blasphemy. But, you know, I'm still trying to figure out how this guy built a boat and then got two of every insect to get on the boat. That's must have been busy just doing that. You know how many insects there are on this planet? And then I guess the dinosaurs, because they're extinct now, and the passenger pigeon and the dodo, I guess they just simply missed the boat, because if the religious people don't believe in evolution, so I guess the dinosaur just, he couldn't collect two of them. So that's why they went extinct. So anyway, what a smart person I am. I know it's almost bordering disrespectful. But no, I'm poking fun of this, in that we need to look inward to ourselves. And realize that we have every element, every thing that's needed to do good, to treat people good, to be honest, and hold government accountable. So what if they shoot you? Think of the others that are dying, don't get shot. They just get taken away and buried alive because they wanted to speak out. So we need to protect everybody, from Trayvon to Zimmerman. Zimmerman only acted out because our culture encouraged him. I feel sorry for him as much as I feel sorry for Trayvon, because we're all victims. We're caught up in the cesspool that we call life now, that we've come to know it. I love life. And the question is, what are we going to do about it? We can't even pass same-sex marriage. We got people sitting there playing God with that. I'd sure like to see their sex life. The ones that are making these decisions for others. I'd get me a big bag of popcorn and a glass of Riesling, and I'd probably have a good time. I'd be so entertained. And these are the guys that are not gay now. So anyway, we need to lighten up. We need to start respecting and loving everybody and respect their rights. And that's the way it is. So see you tomorrow or next week. Okay, see me at carolcox.com, and we'll talk to you later. Aloha.
Thank you for tuning in to the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108. Tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show, right here at KWAI Honolulu. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KWAI staff and management.